I'm Dana Lloyd. Welcome to Soul Sister Conversations, the podcast, where you will be inspired and empowered to connect more deeply with your authentic self as we explore topics of personal development, leadership, and spirituality. Your journey to your most authentic self starts right now. Holly Poole is a professional astrologer. She says that we have created a contract before we have come here to the earthly plane where we have chosen to learn lessons. Holly explains what is astrology and how we can use our charts to guide us in our lives. We talk destiny, free will, timing, and so much more. We weave a terrific conversation that is out of this world. Holly Poole, welcome to Soul Sister Conversations.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, I'm delighted to have this conversation because I'll admit right up front, I don't know a lot about astrology other than beyond reading my quick bits of advice for Libra in the newspaper or women's magazine. And I know there's a lot more to it. And so I'm curious to have that conversation around how we can guide us in our life and even how you get onto this path, because you call yourself a professional astrologer. So first of all, how did you get onto this path? Because I know you said in your bio that you were excelling in your corporate career and you kind of posed the question around, was it destiny that led you to astrology, you know, despite having a successful career? So I'm curious how you decided to jump onto this path.
Well, first of all, let me start by saying I'm a newfie. So I never knew anything about astrology growing up in Newfoundland. Moved to Nova Scotia, met my husband. We were on our way to a Corvette convention in Ontario. He was driving. I was bored. So ran into a gas station to get a magazine to read. There was really nothing there other than Maclean's and Time, and I was on vacation, so I wasn't sort of interested in reading anything like that, but they had a horoscope magazine there. I thought, oh, well, you know, what's the worst can happen? Pick that up. And they talked about getting a professional designation in astrology, and I thought, that's interesting. So I said to my husband, well, I think I'll apply for that. And just like anything, they sent me then a 100-question true-false. They were looking to see how much knowledge I already had. Again, I'm going to say, remember, I knew nothing about astrology. I don't think at that point I even knew I was an Aquarian. So pretty much through intuition, I went down through the true false questionnaire. And it came back that I actually ended up with 95% correct. And so first of all, now that I have, you know, that was back in 1994. So that was a few years ago. Since then, I realized that nothing in life is coincidental. And it wasn't coincidental at that point in time for me to actually run across my actual fated path. So I received, it was the International College of New York. And they sent me a note and said, because you appear to have so much knowledge already, we would like to give you a scholarship. And the scholarship is that we would pay for half of the schooling with the agreement that you would agree to teach for us for 5 years following the certification. And that's really how I fell into it.
Wow. And it's interesting you use the word fell and that you've since then realized there's really no coincidences. So why do you think that the astrology spoke to you at that time? Were you having feelings or thoughts of, I'm not sure if I'm happy doing what I'm doing, even though I'm having success at it? Was there some sort of crack in your soul around changing paths at that time?
Well, first of all, there are numerous types of astrology. And I have since learned the type of astrologer I am is an astrologer called an evolutionary astrologer. Mm. Evolutionary astrologers believe in past lifetimes. And we believe that life is completely evolving and that we pre-write our whole entire chart before coming to Earth. So when I do personal readings with people, even though let's just say the individual today is at 35 years of age, I can actually go back and say, you know, when you were at 22 years of age and when you were at 18 years of age, simply by looking at the chart to see when the soul does actually get nudged by the individual.
Wow. And how does that show up? Is it an alignment or?
That is very much about the alignment. And I guess every one of us have some very common alignments as well.
And are we talking planets and stars here when we're saying alignments?
Yeah, we absolutely are. When the planets align with the particular places within our chart, and our very first nudge, every single individual gets their very first nudge when they're between 28 to 30 years of age. And in astrology, Saturn is somewhere within our chart at the moment of our birth. And at 28 to 30 years of age, we get, in astrology term, a Saturn return. So it actually comes back and lines up to exactly where it was in our chart at the moment of our birth. And so if all of us take a moment and think about that time period from 28 to 30, it does feel like somebody took our life, kind of put it in a bag, kind of shook it all up and rolled it out and went, how do you like me so far?
And I can totally relate to that because that's exactly the time frame when I wrote a book and I talk about my experience of self-discovery and how I got onto that path. And that is the exact time frame that began to crack open. And now this is the first time I've ever heard that there is actually some sort of soul nudge that is written in the stars would explain that. And I thought, well, that's fascinating.
And another big time in our life is when we turn 50, 49, 50 years of age. In astrology, there is Chiron. Chiron is an asteroid, whole mythology behind that. But anyway, it takes 50 years for Chiron to make it all the way around the chart, come back to exactly line up where it was at the moment of our birth. So we have a Chiron return there. And that is what they call one full revolution of the soul. And so as Chiron has been going around the chart, it has hit off every single lesson we have written in the chart. And again, let's come back to the fact of my belief that we write every lesson in our chart before even coming to Earth. We've actually even chosen a birth date, place, time, parents, blah, 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 to create our original birth chart. And there are no two people alike in the world. There are no two Geminis, no two Cancers, no two Leos. Every single person has a completely different birth chart. It is so unlikely you are going to get two moms in the exact hospital at the exact moment giving birth. I mean, even looking at the charts of twins, they are as different as night and day.
Really?
Yes.
That's so fascinating. I'm trying to think or imagine when you say we write these. So our soul, is it like a soul contract?
It is.
Who are we writing those with?
Ourselves.
What is this? Is it paper or are we deciding? Where are we putting this? And I've heard of these Akashic records. Is this yes. related?
Yes, it's very related.
Yeah.
It is very much connected with that because, so why do we come to Earth? Well, we come to Earth to evolve. Right? That's the plan. Anyway, we hope that's the plan.
Some of us do.
And so it's my belief, again, that before we come, so I believe we sit there with God, the universe, angels, spirit guides, guardian angels, whatever your personal belief system is, and to say, okay, so in order for me to evolve in this lifetime, well, there's a couple of lessons here I didn't get before. Maybe I didn't learn about trust. Maybe I didn't learn about faith. Maybe I didn't learn about commitment. Okay, so let's write that into our chart. And then we write contracts with people. Everybody who is important to us in this lifetime, we actually have been with in other lifetimes. And we recognize these people through the eyes. We keep the exact same vibration through the eyes. And so that's why you recognize people. You know, there's times that you think, where do I know you from? Like,
yeah.
Did we go to school here? No. Did you work here? No. Did you go to university here? No. Well, I feel a connection to you. And it's often a past lifetime connection. So we write the contracts with these people. We write the contracts when people enter our life, but we also write the contracts when people leave our life as well. So when you think about some marriages, for instance, those contracts are pre-written. Some of those are for 5 years, some are 15, some are 30, but when a contract is done, it's done.
That's so fascinating. And I'm curious, yeah, go ahead.
And it's fascinating to see in a chart. So before anybody even comes to see me, of course, now in COVID times, all my readings are done online in Zoom. But I know exactly where that conversation is going to go. I know exactly what that topic is.
So interesting. So when you say people have contracts for marriages, because certainly lots of people would have stayed in marriages longer than they should. And we have something called free will. So how does free will play into all of these contracts? Something that we're saying this is what we should do, but astrology will tell us what, you know, when to stop honoring them or how to approach them.
Well,
or
let me use an example. Maybe that will help. So this was probably about 10 years ago. A lady had come to see me and she had been in a very, very abusive relationship. And they weren't married or anything, but they were living under the same roof and he was a heavy drinker. And she came to see me to see, is the contract up? My comment to her is, whether the contract is up or whether the contract is not up, that does not make it okay to stay under the roof of abuse, you know?
Mm-hmm.
However, the contract, according to your chart, is not up for 2 years. I am not asking you to stay under the roof. But what I am saying to you is, you want to go and do separation contracts and all that kind of stuff, feel free to do so. But I'm going to tell you, the end of that line is in 2 years from now. Anyway, to make the long story short, they did split. He went to AA's, got some help, and she brought him back under the roof. And unfortunately, time went on. They got in more fights and stuff. And she booted him out again. It took those 2 years to really draw the line in the sand and have the finality.
That's so interesting. So it was still there. The contract was still there. But how they approached it or what they got to do about it, it still ended the same way. So do you, I don't know if it's a belief. Do you believe in destiny? You know, we still have free will. So if something, you know, I guess is it scary to come to you and do an astrology reading? And will you tell us something they're like, oh crap, we don't want to know.
I hope the answer to that is no.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be scary. Well, I would have to say no. And of course, I'm hoping that, needless to say. I am not going to tell you anything that on some inner level, you don't already know.
Right.
So when life, and I want all the listeners to think about this, never mind astrology, but when life is extremely difficult, you have to step back and go, what lesson am I just not getting? And I think about, because life should never, and please, everybody understand this, life is not meant to be difficult. If life is being difficult, you're not getting the message. You're not listening to the angels or the universe or things of that nature. And I see it even with contracts, never mind sort of marriage contracts, but what about contracts at our work world, at our workplace?
Yeah.
And, you know, I can see those coming up. I remember about 4 or 5 years ago talking to a lady who had worked in this particular corporation for lots of years. And I said to her, because we were 2 years over, 2 years out from what it was, and I said, so Are you thinking about retiring in 2 years from now? Oh no, she said, I've got no intentions of retiring. Well, to me, inwardly, I'm thinking that's really dangerous because your chart shows you are retiring in 2 years. I am not going to say that. But what I did say is, you know, a lot can change between now and then. So what I would like you to do is to just even look at some possibilities. Anyway, 1 year out, she came to see me. I went through the exact same questions. No, not looking to retire. I said, well, would you just do me a favor? And she said, sure. I said, I would like you to go and talk to somebody in the HR department just to talk about if I were to retire, what would be my financial benefits and stuff? She said, okay. I said, just promise me that you'll do that. You'll have that information whether you choose to retire or not. You'll at least have that information. And I will tell you, 6 months coming up to the time that I saw her retiring, this lady became very sick. And throughout time, when we got to that timing, she ended up having to retire just because of being not well. Mm. She was very happy to have the information from HR.
Mm. And so when you see things like that, is it a set of alignments that tell you the
Absolutely.
Contract is ending, that it represents something?
Yes, that's okay. Exactly what it is. There are various planets directly within the chart. And when we have certain planets line up together, they create and change events. Free will comes in with how we are going to choose to make choices as to what we're going to do with that. Mm. And I often say to people, look, the planets can't force you to do anything. However, what they do is they open a platform. My question to you is, are you going to willingly choose to do something with that platform, or are you just going to close your eyes and make out it's not even there?
Mm. And so, for example, with the example of the lady who didn't foresee herself retiring, but ultimately got sick, I guess, how could she have changed that any differently? I don't know. Maybe she was obvious, like she needed to take care of her health. I don't know.
Well, I also think too that in astrology, there are different types of planets, and certain planets are called fixed signs. So the fixed signs is actually Taurus and Leo and Scorpio and Aquarius. If you look at your own personal chart, and you have a lot of those particular planets in your chart, because we have all 12 signs in our chart. Mm-hmm. If you have lots of those fixed, it means, you know, you live under the umbrella of thou shalt not be moved. And when that happens, it's not that easy to be open to possibilities and open to ideas.
So is that telling you more about the person's personality, that they tend to be stubborn and not open to change?
Absolutely.
Versus not things are fixed in their life. They choose to be fixed with
relationships.
That's correct.
Mm. Yes. And how they view life. So again, I have a long discussion when I do an original reading with an individual. We talk intensely about who you are as a person, because you cannot be anybody other than your actual astrology chart. That is who you are. When we take our first breath, when we take that at the moment of our birth, we take in the whole vibration of the astrological chart. Mm. So we are who we are. And that also means why we should not judge Tom, Dick, Harry, Sally, whatever, because we don't have their chart. We are not living their life. We cannot walk in their shoes.
And this is because I often talk about authenticity and living in alignment with who you really are.
Right.
And I guess this is this whole idea, because I tend to do it maybe more intuitively, going inward, paying attention, you know, go in the direction that feels good.
Right.
So this whole idea, if you stray from your path, your literal astrological path, why you would experience difficulty or all, like you say, all the struggle that's not as necessary.
Correct.
Yeah.
And people will often say, Holly, I want to come for a reading. I want to see if I'm on track. My answer is, I'd love for you to come for a reading, but I will tell you, you are on track. The universe or God, again, whatever a person's personal belief system is, will not allow you to be that far off track. You wrote it. They will keep you to it.
That's I don't want to say that sounds ominous, Holly, but you're sticking to the plan, lady.
Yeah. That's right. Whether you like it, if you don't like it, well, I guess you should have written a different plan. But you know, the thing though, Dana, is we are not dumb before we come to Earth. We're probably a lot smarter than we are when we come in physical form, actually, but we are not dumb. So when we write challenges within our chart, we also write within our chart a lot of abilities to take care of, to work with, to work our way through that. Mm. And I talk about as well, in astrology, there is a concept called out of bounds moon. It's a very interesting concept. Mm. Some people are born with an out of bounds moon. And out-of-bounds moon people have a tendency to do-do-do-do-do, go along in life, go to bed, wake up, boom, now they're going to make it to the right. And they change careers and they go totally over here to the right. And then they diddly-diddly-diddly for a little while and they go to bed and they wake up and boom, I'm now going to go, you know, the other way. And an ideal person to think about that was Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan has an out-of-bounds moon. Well, he was a singer for like 40 years. He went to bed one night, woke up the next day and said, I'm going to be a monk. Like, that's what an out-of-bound moon person will do.
They take a sharp left.
Yes.
And change their minds.
When I work with, because I do life coaching as well using the astrological chart, when I work with people and they have an out-of-bounds moon like that, I have no doubt a lot of people within their family has to be shaking their head and going like, what are you doing? But I say to them, so let's take a moment and question, why would you have written that into your birth chart before coming? Like, how has that helped you throughout life? Because anything we write in, it's not about hindering us. It is about elevating our evolution.
Hmm. And is that how you would define struggle as well? Look, when people are struggling, it is a sign to get back on path.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. There's a great book by Thomas More, actually, called Care of the Soul, who was also a monk, by the way. And he talks about the fact that when we are not living on soul purpose, now, I don't think he believes in astrology or knows anything about astrology. He doesn't mention it. But he talks about we go through what's called the dark night of the soul.
Sure.
And those dark nights of the soul, man, they can be rough. Like, they can really be rough. And when that happens, it's interesting when we come out the other side, what we actually have decided, you know?
Hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
That happens in the astrological chart too. When Saturn is going around the chart, when Saturn enters that 12th house, the 12th house in our chart is our house of the subconscious mind. It's the house of secrets. It's the things we hold dear inside. I'm personally experiencing that now. And I have to say, I don't like it. I don't like to see it in clients' charts when Saturn comes through that 12th house. So I will always suggest to people when that happens, you're going to feel it like the dark night of the soul, number one. But number two, how are you going to choose? We know it's coming. That's why you do astrology readings, to know what's coming. How are you going to choose to navigate through that? And oftentimes, one of the best ways to navigate through it is to choose a form of study somehow. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't have to be, you know, into psychology and physiology, and it doesn't have to be that. It can be things that are of interest to us. It could be about gemstones. It could be about animal communication. It could be, you know, it doesn't have to be something that has to have that practical side that's going to make us money in the end. But it needs to be something to help navigate through that dark night of the soul.
And why does study help you come through the dark night of the soul, or finding some sort of interest that is it to keep your mind off it?
In a lot of ways, because I think when we go through the dark night of the soul, we do a lot of tearing up on the inside. Am I smart enough? Am I cute enough? Am I tall enough? Am I fat enough? Am I skinny enough? Whatever, fill in the blank.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
And the 12th house, that house of the subconscious, it's also where we find depression and anxiety. One of the things that people may not recognize is that Hippocrates, father of medicine, was an astrologer and did all of the original diagnoses by using the astrological chart.
Really?
And so I will often take people back through a time when I felt they probably went through that dark night of the soul simply by looking at how the planets went around their chart. And I will say to them, that was a very difficult time for you, right? Most times they'll say, yes, that's correct. And I'll say, so when you came out of it, though, what had you learned? That is the big question for all of us.
I was just going to underscore that. I said, this seems to be the theme is what are you learning? Because I guess that relates to the whole evolution of the soul. Are we getting the lesson?
Correct.
And you will see this time and time again is that the, you know, I think Pema Chodron said it, nothing ever leaves you till you learn what it has come to teach you.
Correct.
And it'll just repeat itself. And sometimes it gets like snowballs. It's really big, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
How would you define astrology? When you say astrology, what is it to you?
To me, it is certainly a guidepost. It is one of the greatest avenues. Now, of course, I'm a little biased, needless to say, but it is one of the greatest avenues and sciences to be able to help you navigate through your life.
I read that astrology is a language, an art, and a tool for connection. So as you're saying that, it kind of makes sense. It is a tool, it's a way to connect both inside yourself and to something greater, I guess.
Correct. Yeah. And I generally find that when people have astrology readings with me, majority of people will cry. And I think a lot of that is the reason that they feel I am touching their soul.
Sure. Someone finally sees them.
Yes. And understands who they are. And lots of times I will say to people, I probably know you better now than you know you.
Yeah. Well, it's a bit revealing. You're looking at the chart that seems to tell all.
Yes.
The tell-all memoir that maybe people aren't even clued into.
And I think about even people lots of times who at the moment of their birth, this seems to be a common theme, who have a retrograding Saturn at the moment of their birth. That is usually indicative that they grew up with an absent father. And so there is a huge sense or feeling of abandonment for these individuals. So I will always bring that to the forefront. And to also say to them, okay, let us back up here. My belief, I'm not expecting you to believe it, but my belief tells me you asked your dad to be an absent father.
If so that, that if you can learn the lesson, I guess.
That's right. If that is the case, which certainly had happened in my life as well, if that is the case, how can we then be mad at him or feel abandoned by it when it has been a request according to your chart?
That you already designed this.
Yes. And if it had not already been designed, these are words I use as well, how would I know this? I might be great with an astrology chart, but I'm really not that hot without one.
Right. Yeah. And does that bring people comfort?
That brings people tons of comfort. I have had people say to me, Holly, this reading has meant more to me. I have been under like psychiatric help for about 5 years, and this one reading has brought more realization to me than all of those 5 years. And I've heard that throughout the years so many times.
I can imagine. I can imagine. What have you seen as the, you're already explaining some of it, but the power of astrology, what does it ultimately do? Return people to themselves, give them clarity?
I think it allows people to see that there is a way, way, way bigger plan than what they see just straight in front of them.
Does that scare them?
No. It allows for, it allows that we're not in a kamikaze type world, that there is a whole plan. When we think about this whole coronavirus bit, I predicted this in 2019. No, I didn't predict coronavirus. I predicted that in January of 2020, the world at large would be brought to its knees.
Tell me you're predicting an end.
I still think we have a little while yet.
Yeah,
we haven't.
Me too.
We haven't quite got the lesson yet.
What do you think that lesson is?
I think the lesson is all about the fact of, okay, let's go back for a second. What have we learned? Well, we have learned the importance of family. We have learned the importance that helping family help each other is extremely important. We were on a destructive road going nowhere, I think. You know, mom and dad.
Yeah.
And this is not, you know, pointing fingers to mom and dad, but mom and dad were on the roller coaster ride of making the almighty dollar in order to have a bigger house, a bigger car. And please don't think I'm against the dollar, because I certainly am not. But I think it has brought the realization of what exactly is important in life.
Yeah.
People got back and learned how to cook again.
Garden.
And that's right. People got back and learned how to garden again. I think that we were like mice in a wheel going nowhere fast.
Yeah, and I think you're right. As difficult this has been, early on, I had said, and I've heard other people felt the same sentiment, that we felt like there was like a reset button, like something was telling us, time out.
That's
You know, you're destroying the planet. You're going at 100 miles an hour. We're not serving each other. And, you know, I think people learned a lot about what it meant to be connected. And I've heard these conversations of people recognizing what truly matters. Now, the key is whether we'll actually, as you say, we'll learn the lesson and make the necessary shifts. I mean, even with respect to climate change, I don't know if it's true, but I've heard of things like how quickly, you know, life came back into the canals of Italy.
And
various other stories, you know, the animals kind of came back in various areas where the people, you know, stopped occupying. So there was this great grand shift.
Yep.
But will we get the lesson going forward?
And through this past summer, the summer of 2021, the planets were all in retrograde motion. So I had said to a lot of my clients, you know, take this summer, to sort of play catch up with everything and everybody, because those planets are all going to turn around in October. And things are going to start to roll again. Things are going to move again. Things are going to shift again in October. And by the new moon in November, which was on the 4th of November of this year, by the new moon, all the things that you've been deciding through the spring and the summer, you will see so much clarity coming in after that new moon in November. But don't expect it beforehand. Mm. And so when we come back and we talk about life being difficult, and I said it's often we're on the wrong path or something, it also can be a wrong timing. That's the other thing astrology does for us. It allows for the opening of doors and to recognize we might as well sit down and shut up and wait, because when the planets move is when the dynamics and the situations will change, but it will not before then.
Mm. Because there's sometimes it feels like you're doing things and you're pushing and getting no results. And then other times it's easy. Yeah. And we use that word timing a lot. And I guess I've never really thought of it, that things are literally shifting planetarily to create a different scenario. And I guess most of us are not well versed in astrology to even relate to that, to think that that is actually the timing. There's something in the universe that's shifting that allows these doors now to be opened a little bit more easily.
I did a reading for a lady, I think it was this spring, actually February, March, and she was out of the U.S. and she was lamenting that they had their house up for sale and it wasn't selling. And I said, you know, it's not going to sell until October. That's when these planets are turning around in your chart and there will be the sale in October. Anyway, her and her husband lived in a very tiny, small apartment. Well, they waited and they waited and they waited and they chose not to listen to my guidance, and that's okay too. So in late August, they moved back into their home, and in October, it sold.
Hmm. Timing.
Timing. It's all about timing. Exactly.
I'm curious, how does surrender play a part in this? You know, it's one of those spiritual principles where and you hear it with law of attraction, that once you stop pushing against something, you know, you often get it. And maybe that's how it relates to timing, that eventually shows up when it needs to. But, you know, this whole idea of law of attraction, it comes faster. Can we influence timing by, you know, are we resisting something within ourselves? We're sending a message up to the universe that we're actually forcing a delay without us really wanting to.
I usually smile when people say, you know, I will make this happen. and I just smile and say, well, good luck with that.
So where does this whole place of surrender play with respect to timing of people going, okay, you know, versus pushing it? And when people are truly like, I'm going to let this go, this is what I want, and kind of put it out to the universe. Is it then just a matter of waiting, or do things come to us more quickly when we are not resisting?
When I ask the angels, and I would have to say from my perspective, I'm a very, very spiritual lady. Mm-hmm. And so I ask the angels not to make it happen tomorrow, but I ask the angels to make it happen if and when it is for my greatest and highest good.
Mm. Yeah.
And one of my life coaching students was really lamenting. She had changed jobs, and I talked with her two nights ago, and she was going into a meeting, and I said to her, so, you know, first and foremost, you should bring the angels with you. You should ask them to attend, because they are not going to attend if you do not ask them. They are just going to sit there and not ride over that boundary line. So ask them to attend and it'll make it much better. Yesterday, she sent me a note and she said, well, can I ask the angels to attend as well for other people? And I knew that her kids were going through a difficult time. And I said, you know, it's much better if your kids ask to have the angels attend. But otherwise, you can ask that the angels attend the meeting of her daughter was going for a job interview. But also don't ask the angels to attend to make sure she gets the job. Ask the angels to attend and to allow and help her get the job if it is for her highest good.
And why is it important to add for your highest good?
Because if it's not for our highest good, we don't want it.
That's true. Because I guess a lot of people may want something, a certain job or a person in their life.
But that's a control issue. And they're not,
pardon me?
That's a control issue.
Yes. But it's often, like you said, people go, I'm going to make this happen. But it may not be for their highest good. They may think it is.
Exactly. Yeah. And so when that's what made me think about your wording about the word surrender. Mm-hmm. Do we really want it if it is not for our highest good? Because if it's not for our highest good, it will make us miserable.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah.
So it doesn't serve the highest purpose either.
No. But a lot of people are kind of deeply entrenched in their egos or in their lives, their very human lives, and may think they want things and could, you know, that saying that what you resist persists. It's like push, 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 and it just pushes back.
Yes.
Yeah. What does a good astrology reading do? And maybe that's not the right word, good astrology reading, but maybe what is it? What is it? But that's what comes up. What's a good astrology do? What do people get? Because do they come wanting guidance on something specific? And then they're blown away that you're giving them a much broader view of their life.
So I personally think a person needs an astrologer, like they need a doctor or a coach or whatever. And it doesn't have to be me. There are many, many astrologers out there. And you need to, not you, but people need to find an astrologer that they connect with the vibration of the astrologer.
Sure.
But you need an astrologer to help guide you through life. How I personally do it, when someone comes to see me for the very, very first time, we spend at least an hour, sometimes it can go to an hour and a half, talking about your natal chart. Who are you? Why are you here? What is your purpose here? What are some of the lessons you didn't get from other lifetimes? How is some of the best ways to navigate? Carl Jung, father of psychology, was also an astrologer. Carl Jung said if he had another 20 years to live, that's what he would focus on, would be astrology. He used it in his psychology practice. So we spend a lot of time on the foundation because I really believe that if you don't know who you are at the very core of you, how can you move forward with that?
Right. Well, lots of people are dying to know who they truly are. They will say, I don't know. I don't know me and have to take time to discover. I guess this is a good shortcut.
Yes. So, well, there's even after an hour and a half of talking in a chart, looking at a chart, I could probably go for 8 or 10 hours talking about just the natal chart. I don't, because people's eyes start to glaze over after about an hour and a quarter or so. And then they need an astrology reading every year after that to see what their upcoming year will bring. So once I do the foundational chart with them, I suggest they contact me then around their birthday. And because to me, your birthday is the beginning of your next year. And then we go month by month by month. What I want you to sort of focus in on, what are some of the best things to look at? You know, if people are talking about coming up and wanting to retire, looking at the upcoming year, what are some of the best months to look at that? If someone's talking about maybe they want to change homes, you know, what are some of the best months to do that? Again, when we talk about your purpose in life, usually we know what your purpose is because it's what you enjoy doing as a child. What are you doing when you're the happiest? And that brings up our inner purpose. But lots of times people don't know how to get there. And I find, I guess, some of the difficulty is perhaps people in the artistic world, because they are towed. Artists don't make any money. I mean, isn't that a common theme? Which is really not necessarily correct. You know, or if somebody needs their purpose in life, maybe their purpose in life is to work in the new agey world. Maybe their work is connected around medical intuition. So then I set them up with someone I may know in that particular field, and talk about timings of that. And sometimes people think our purpose in life is to be like a judge or a doctor. Sometimes our purpose in life is to learn what it's like to be within a relationship.
Yeah, we're learning that it's not the doing, it's the being.
Yes, it is the right? being. Absolutely, yeah. It is.
Yeah, that makes sense. One of the things that you mentioned earlier in our conversation, you were talking about past lives. Do you do past life work, or is that revealed to you through these charts?
Lots of times it can be revealed through the chart. And that has to do with something in our chart called the nodal axis. And it shows the north node in our chart is our purpose in this lifetime. The south node in the chart is our purpose or what we did in other lifetimes. So if I'm working with you, for instance, lots of times it's very easy for people to be in the avenue of what they did in other lifetimes. It's easy, it's comfortable, they don't have to come out of their comfort zone. And I will often say to them, but this is not where I want you in this lifetime. In this lifetime, this is what I'd like to see you do. And so we work along those axes. One of the things you just asked me, do I do past lifetime regression work? No, I do not.
Can you tell from people's charts if they're on their, is there such a thing as a last life? Like, I've heard of this. Like, people say, I'm done here. I'm not coming back anymore. I've gotten all the lessons. Can you tell that?
Yes.
Is it true?
Yes. And I've looked at charts sometimes where people have said that, and my thought process by looking at the chart is, oh, honey, you got a lot more lives to come back.
Oh, that's so funny. And, you know, it's so funny. You do meet people like children, and you'll say they're an old soul.
Yes.
And is that because they're revealing to us that they've been here many times, or that they're really old? Because there are other people I know, they seem like they're newbies to the planet.
Yes, and that is also correct. Again, I come back and I taught this in intermediate astrology class the other night, talking about Chiron. When Chiron shows up in a person's first house in their chart, they are a relatively new soul to the earth plane. Now, it doesn't mean to say they're a new soul entirely. They could have lived on many other planets. I do believe that there is a lot of life on other planets. But this is a relatively new time to the earth plane. And they feel so out of sync. They feel they don't fit in. They feel that they have no purpose. So I spend a lot of time with these people, helping them to identify perhaps some of the major reasons why they've come to Earth. And lots of times, if it's like an adult person, for instance, I'm talking with, lots of times it is so that they can open the pathway for other younger kids coming online who feel exactly as they do. It's also the evolutionary astrologer belief that children, for instance, who are born, say, with Asperger's or autism or something that society calls not the norm, that belief system is that they have actually come, this is probably their first lifetime on the earth plane, and that they came as they normally would. But just the fact of evolving into earth, they couldn't evolve everything. So they came as they were.
A come as you are party.
That's right.
That's it. Yeah. Yes. Well, that's interesting. One of the things that you're studying now, are you currently doing it? It's the medical astrology?
I am studying medical astrology.
And what is that?
So it is actually looking at a chart to see medical influences within the chart.
Which means?
I do not diagnose, but lots of time. Well, let me give you an example. So this was about 4 years ago on my Facebook page. I commented that I was studying medical astrology. And I have done medical astrology in so many other lifetimes. I have a full lifetime that I know entirely about doing medical astrology, which is really quite fascinating. But that doesn't mean to say, you know, that we have all the answers in this lifetime. And so I had this mother contact me, and she asked if I would look at her son's chart because he had been at the IWK in Halifax 8 different times, and he was only 2 years old. And I said, no, I didn't really want to do that. I had just started medical astrology. I didn't feel proficient. And to be honest, I still do not. I'm still studying. And she begged and begged and begged and begged and begged. And I said, okay, all right, I will look. He is under doctor's care. So this is not to override anything a doctor would ask. But let me take a look at the chart. So I took a look, and immediately to me, it was so obvious in this little guy's chart that he had a huge amount of creatinine in his kidneys. And I said to her, I said, so I think by looking at the chart, again, I preface by saying I am just studying, so I do not know. But I suspect he has creatinine in his kidneys. And so if this were my child, I would be asking them to do a test for that, number one. Number two, I think this little kid has a testicle issue. 2 years of age, you may not have noticed that, but I need them to take a really strong look and just look at his testicle, because I do think, according to his chart, that there is an issue there. That's all I got to say. If it were my child, that's what I would be asking with this child chart. So she went back to the doctor. He had checked, he did a tech check on the creatinine, and it was off the charts. And they actually did look at the little guy's testicle, and there had been a rupture inside.
Okay. So what are you seeing in the chart? These aren't words written on the chart that would tell you specifically this substance, creatine?
Yes. It is just totally the way the planetary alignments. It's so hard to explain and describe.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
It is fascinating. I agree. It is absolutely fascinating. And, you know, like when you think about Libra, if Libra is in the sixth house in the chart, I ask people to watch their kidneys to make sure that their kidney function is working really well if it's in the sixth house. It's the same that, like, there's an anatomical piece within the body connected to every sign and every planet.
Wow. It feels like you'll be studying this and practicing
forever.
You'll be proficient right by the time you're ready to exit this world.
Well, I will also be extremely honest with you and tell you, when that lady asked me to look at the sun's chart, and immediately I come up with that and come up with that, like, it was very quickly. And I question, you know, was that past life knowledge that actually came forward?
Right. And your answer is?
I think it was. I think it was. I, you know.
It's kind of interesting that we, you're making me think when we talk about, you know, tapping into our intuition.
Yes.
That maybe we've built this over time, over many lives, that there's this big wealth of information.
Definitely.
Subconsciously somewhere that we're tapping into. It's not just intuition in this lifetime.
Absolutely. Guaranteed. That is my definite belief.
Yeah, fascinating. Yeah.
And, you know, you think about even our regular doctors, you think about our regular psychologists, you think about, you know, our mechanics. Well, you think about, you know, Beethoven, who could play at 3 years of age.
Yes. What is that?
You know, you think about so many of those types of things. How many of us have had a bit of a deja vu thinking, you know, I've been here before.
Yeah.
It reminds me of back in the late 80s, early 90s, I said to my husband one morning, I'm going to Rome. And he was like, huh, you just woke up. I said, I know, I'm going to Rome in May. And he was like, really? I said, you're more than welcome to come with me if you want, but either way, I'm going to Rome. Anyway, I went to Rome and ended up going by myself. But I went to Rome. And I had never obviously been to Rome before. And I went to numerous of the buildings because I took some tours, obviously. And before they opened those doors, I knew exactly what it was going to be like inside.
Mm.
Now, that is complete past life memories.
Yeah, that's so fascinating.
Yeah.
That's tremendously interesting. There's a whole other thing on past lives that we can explore, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know much about them other than just what I hear, you know, generally.
Oh, but, I have fascinating stories on past lives.
I bet you do. I think I can talk to you all day. Holly, this has been a fascinating conversation. Is there anything that you wanted to say about astrology or what you do that I haven't asked you about?
I just think one, and the other thing that people don't know is that there are so many different avenues of astrology. How many people read the Farmer's Almanac? How do they think the almanac, the weather gets predicted for a year in advance? It's totally through astrology. Mm. It is called astrometeorology, where you look at the astrological planets and can predict weather.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, where we're talking right now, the massive landslides and water and all that kind of stuff that's just happened in BC, I was waiting for that kind of information, not necessarily from BC, but right now in the sky, we have Mars opposing Uranus. And Mars, whenever Mars opposes Uranus, we have disasters. You know, like Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
So I have a Facebook page called Holly Pool Astrology. And when they sort of talk about, you know, upcoming hurricanes and we're expecting hurricane coming and things of that nature, one of the things I'll write on my page is, okay, if on this particular weekend, excuse me, we get a note by them saying, oh, we're, you know, there's a hurricane building off land and it's going to hit land at a certain amount of time, I will often tell my readers, okay, we do need to prepare. Or, you know, it's a good idea to take your lawn furniture in and stuff like that, but I don't think it's going to amount to much. And that's done through the avenue of astrology called astrometeorology.
Okay.
There is also an astrology called synastry astrology, and that is about partnerships and relationships. So that is looking at partners that come into a marriage and what each of them brings into the marriage. Or you can look at the partnerships of, you know, family members. What is the, say you got just using mom and dad and two kids, and what is the whole general idea of the reasoning of these four people coming together? There is vocational astrology. Where are some of the best places you fit in the vocational world? Mm. So there are
very specific avenues.
Yes, that is.
And so one of your lanes is evolutionary astrology. Then I think you've already explained this, but then your focus is more what when you use the word evolutionary? Is it more soul purpose?
Yes, I call it, it's actually what they call psychological astrology.
Okay.
Brings in a lot of psychology within it, because it's how can I make my life a better place to be?
And who doesn't want that?
Yes. Yeah. So I follow a lot of Carl Jung's principles.
Okay. That's fascinating. Is there anything you can give us a heads up on generally of how, what do we need to be looking for as this year comes to a close, or maybe at the beginning of the new year? Is there anything that's coming up that you can give us advice on, you know, broad, you know, obviously you don't know all our individual charts, but is there, do you sort of forecast things generally?
Yes. And so there is an avenue of astrology called mundane astrology. Mundane astrology is looking at world events.
Okay.
Way back, many kings and queens and had their own personal astrologers. Many presidents had their own personal astrologers and so on. So there's many discussions and topics about world events. And for the last 18 months, when we get to December, January, we're doing a complete switch here. This is why I want it to go to the last 18 months. We've had a nodal axis with Gemini and Sagittarius. And I'm sure you've noticed that there's been a lot of polarization in I believe this, you believe this, because God forbid you bring up the discussion about vaccine, but that's a polarization between the Gemini and Sagittarius. Gemini is about, let's all have the discussion on it, and I'm going to prove to you that the way I think is the right way. And Sagittarius is straight across from it about what is truth. What exactly is the truth? And right. So I'm happy to know that we're coming out of that polarization, because that was rough going.
Yeah, it was real rough. We've experienced a lot of division for the past year and a half in particular. I mean, there always seems to be some sort of division, but it feels very pronounced.
Yes.
Both south of the border and within our own country. Like, I think during this pandemic, it has pretty much, we've experienced a lot of it. So it's been a real roller coaster ride for many of us.
And that's been really, really rough, because it means people are not allowed to express their opinion.
It becomes a difficult place to do that.
It does. It becomes defensive. You bring in the defensiveness of the Sagittarius mindset sometimes. It's the fiery defensiveness. You know, you're not on my mindset, so you got to be wrong. Right. So we're changing that nodal axis, and we're going to see a big change of that coming into very late December, coming into the early part of January. The axis then is going to go to change into Scorpio and Taurus, which is a lot of a softer energy flow, and that's more about building together and nourishing and flourishing together. That's a much greater vibration, and that'll take us then for the next 2 years.
Oh, yay. 2 years. That's a nice time.
Yes.
I like the words nourish and flourish. That feels much better than the words polarization.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's something to look forward to.
It is. And, this Friday, November 19th, we have a lunar eclipse, which is a lot of the shutting down of the old. We enter the second part of the eclipse season. And then on the 4th of December, we have a solar eclipse. And I love solar eclipses. It takes place at 12 degrees Sagittarius. And so solar eclipses are about opening brand new doors, opening brand new ways of thoughts. And that pretty much ends off then that whole nodal Gemini Sagittarius axis, and then we, as I said, go into the Taurus and Scorpio. We'll also want to, for the next 2 years, take a real big watch in mundane astrology on the financial markets. That's going to be the Taurus, and that's also too about climate change. And in the Scorpio side, we'll take a big watch on our police divisions. That will undergo a huge, huge change within the next 2 years. And we can already, I think when we look at it, we can already start to see, you know, where they're starting to kind of talk about let's defund the police and all that kind of stuff. So we're already seeing some implications all of what the next 2 years is going to bring us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is fascinating. And I hope all good things for us in the next 2 years, but I think certainly moving to the words nourish and flourish is promising. If people want to get in touch with you and they would like to get an astrology reading, what is the best way for them to get in touch with you? Through your website?
Through the website. So it's Holly at Holly Poole, Poole with an E, hollypoole.com. Or if they just want to watch my work every day, I write on Facebook in Holly Poole Astrology Facebook page. They may just want to follow me for just a little while there to see what the work is like.
Yeah. Get familiar with you.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you on Instagram?
No, I'm not on Instagram.
So Facebook is your main social media platform?
That is right now. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. It has been absolutely fascinating. The time flew, and I think we could easily do another hour and do a deep dive into all sorts of things. But I'm glad we left on a positive note about what we can expect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Life should not be difficult.
Hmm. I'll end it right on that. Life should not be difficult. Yeah, but you're going to add something important.
Yes. Life should not be difficult. Life should be a bowl of cherries.
I agree. Thank you, Holly, for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And I hope all the best.
That was such a great conversation. If you loved it too, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Please go to iTunes to rate and review this podcast. And if you want to continue the conversation, connect with Soul Sister Conversations on the Facebook and Instagram pages. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at Dana Lloyd Leadership, on Twitter at Coach Dana_Lloyd, and of course on LinkedIn. See you next week.